Tony Evers, head of the Department of Public Instruction here in the state, is officially asking the legislature to increase funding for K-12 schools by over $600 million in the next two-year budget.
In addition, he'd like to increase the amount of money schools can raise in local taxes and find a new way to fund the Milwaukee School Voucher Program.
Since then, school administrators around the state have shared their outline, their wish list for education funding, but state lawmakers have announced other priorities, including a new school accountability system.
And we'd like to hear from you on these issues. Are you the parent of a public school student? How do you think your school district is doing financially? What's on your wish list for education priorities? You can let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email us at talk@WPR.org.
Erin Richards joins us now. She's an education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Erin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Well, let's lay out some of the newest budget-related news, if we can, in addition to what we heard from Superintendent Evers. The Association of Wisconsin School Administrators put their policy agenda. Some people have called it a wish list. What kind of things are they asking for in the state budget?
A lot of the things that the school administrators want to see, I would call, are things that a lot of public school folks have been asking for a long time. And of course, that also means more money for things that people feel are important. So for example, more funding for low-income students, students who are learning a second language, and students with special needs. A lot of that funding has been frozen, or at least it hasn't been significantly increased. And yet, you know, as we know, the bilingual population in Wisconsin is growing, and schools are tasked with teaching a lot of these kids, with the same resources they've had for the last several years. You're also seeing them campaign for things like a greater investment in early childhood education, more kindergarten, more robust services for kids who are, in sort of before they start kindergarten. Things like school-based mental health services, the things that have been tried around the state and are showing some improvement in, helping kids feel better and more stable in their schooling careers. And then overall, I think the big ticket items are a more sustainable school finance system, you know, a way for school administrators to be able to plan for more than just 2 years for every state budget cycle, and to index things like the there's this limit that caps how much school districts can raise in local property taxes and state aid. And the administrators would like to see that be tied to the rate of inflation. So they'd be able to raise enough each year up to the level of the rate of inflation each year instead of being capped by, sort of the outlines of the state budget.
So when we're talking about things like funding mental health programs in schools, early child education, and bilingual education, are these things we're hearing from a lot of districts in the state that, hey, these are hurdles that we're having to face, and they're costly hurdles?
The School Administrators Alliance represents superintendents, school leaders, school business officials. So it's the blanket lobbying group for these people that hold the higher level administrative positions in public schools. And yes, I think you can even call around the state and talk to schools and say, what are your challenges? Certainly those are going to be different if you talk to schools in rural areas, which struggle with things like enough money for transportation services, keeping quality teachers in more rural areas. Oftentimes when people are good or want to climb the ladder, they'd like to work in a bigger district in a more populated area because salaries tend to be higher. So those are certainly struggles as well that aren't exactly addressed by the budget requests. But I do think that this is a pretty comprehensive ask for stuff that people that are involved in schools and talk to a lot of people in districts tend to ask for pretty regularly. Hey, we need more special ed services. We need, we'd like to be able to budget farther into the future than just 2 years. So how about taking a look at the school finance system?
Now, also in the request, something about funding statewide teacher and principal evaluation systems. What's going on there? What are they looking for into the future?
The state has already implemented a teacher and principal evaluation system. This is a statewide system. It's meant to bring some uniformity to the way that we look at the performance of teachers. In the past, it's been really haphazard. It can be pretty random, especially if you're a veteran teacher. A lot of people just didn't even get reviewed. So the state, a group got together, a pretty comprehensive state group, said, we could do this better. It was also tied to the state's waiver from some the No Child Left Behind Act. So they had to put in place a state evaluation system. The issue is the state gave them money in the last budget to pay for things like the training that all your principals have to go through if you're going to standardize a system of evaluations. What the administrators would like to see is that funding continue. So continue to help us implement this system. You've got to start it with 2 years of training and, you know, sort of readiness to launch this evaluation for everybody. But we need some money to continue it going forward because there isn't any as of yet unless we ask for it.
Mm-hmm. And turning to the people they're asking for at the state legislature, they've been talking a lot about their various priorities, and education has been getting a lot of attention. But what kind of things have we been hearing from lawmakers when it comes to what they want to do with education early in the next session?
Well, remember after the November 4th elections, the you know, the Republicans had some pretty key wins, and a lot of the key leaders of the GOP are committed to an agenda that you know, has definitely stated that they'd like to offer tax breaks in the state, and at the same time they would like to expand some programs that actually send public money to private schools under the idea and philosophy that kids can achieve better education outcomes if they're allowed to take public funding to the school of their choice. So again, this gets into a bit of a philosophical divide about how we think kids learn best. But what the lawmakers would also like to see that are in charge of the GOP is taking another look at this school accountability and report card system we have that we've had in place for several years now. It gives every public school in the state a report card about how they're doing on things like growth measures, achievement on the state tests, attendance, that sort of thing. And the key GOP leaders are saying, well, you know, we'd like to take another look at this report card. We'd like to look at what are the measures we actually want to have on this report card. So that could mean that some of the stuff may change. They want to bring the private schools that get public money. Those are the voucher schools. They want to keep those in it. In the last session, lawmakers did agree to bring voucher schools into the system, but they didn't hammer out any of the details about how that would actually happen. So it could be that they look at, you know, what are the tests we're actually using that bring the data into this report card system. So it's going to be a bit of a bumpy ride because it's really complex and it's going to affect a lot of different schools in the state.
And the priorities you just laid out from the schools on the one hand, and similar, I think, to the DPI, the Department of Public Instruction, and then legislators on the other hand are not really overlapping that much. Have we heard much from legislative leaders about any of the requests from the Department of Public Instruction or the School District Administrators Group?
Some of the lead Republicans have said that in theory they would like to be they could get behind an idea that would they like the idea of funding innovative pilot projects in schools that could look at how we deliver education differently, right? So we all know that education today looks about the same way it did in classrooms 100 years ago in terms of, you know, sort of a lead teacher and kids in seats and desks. So the administrators have said, hey, how about some extra money for grants that would allow districts to try out some of these new technologies and new ways of teaching, personalized learning, and you know, sort of these more progressive styles of teaching. Lawmakers have said, okay, well, you know, that's kind of a neat idea. There has been some talk of school funding reform on the side of Republicans as well, but as one more moderate Republican said to me, you know, it's really tough to mess with the school finance formula unless there's new money to give away, because in shaking everything out in a different way, there's going to be winners and there's going to be losers, and nobody really wants to touch that if they're going to end up reducing the flow of money to certain districts. So it could be that that is sort of in theory they may be in favor of that, but whether it actually gets done, I suspect it may be more of a conversation starter and not something that would actually get accomplished in the next 2 year session or the next 2 year budget.
Now, another stakeholder, of course, parents, and we're going to invite them and others to call in on this topic. Is there any, I don't know, I don't think there's a parents lobbying group, but is there really an organized voice for parents advocating for kids on these issues?
You know, that's a great question. There really hasn't been in the state. I mean, there are individual PTA groups for districts, and I believe there's a state figure for that as well. But most of the time, you see some of the parent lobbying groups come down to special interest areas. And I mean that by, for example, parents of students with special needs are often represented by several agencies in the state that really have the resources to advocate for them. You know, you see some parents who really like the idea of voucher schools and the expansion of voucher schools speak up, but those are more on an individual basis. I would say there hasn't been a big organized rise here of a sort of a main key parent group. They're mostly smaller and organized around special areas of interest.
Well, maybe our listeners can join on this as we talk with Erin Richards. She's education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're hearing lots of plans for the future of Wisconsin education from school administrators, from the Department of Public Instruction, and from leaders of the upcoming legislature as they get ready to write a budget. And that's what we're talking about, these competing education priorities. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about the differences between lawmakers and educators when it comes to education priorities in the state. And we want to hear from you on this. How do you think your school district is faring right now? What would be at the top of your priority list if you were a lawmaker or school administrator? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Erin Richards stays with us. She's education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'll go right to our callers. We've got Jean on the line in Ashland. Jean, hi.
Hi. I think I was told a long time ago that the U.S. Constitution does not provide completely for public education because there was always the danger of the public education being taken over by a regime like the Nazi regime a long time ago. And that the public schools would be taught things that the people didn't want to be taught. Anyway, so I believe that everyone should get a voucher, and it's nobody else's business where they go to school. They get the voucher to help them get their education, get textbooks, and some of the textbooks, maybe all the textbooks have some errors in them. But they have vouchers, and they can go where they want to go on those vouchers.
I gotcha, Jean. Thanks for the call. And Erin, I don't know if the legislature would move quite that far, but there, as you touched on earlier, there's talk of raising the amount of students who have access to voucher alternatives, or maybe even lifting the current cap on the number of students in voucher programs in Wisconsin.
There is. So there's three separate voucher programs right now. The longstanding program in Milwaukee, which has about 28,000 kids in it at the moment. A smaller program in Racine, and then the much smaller new statewide program that's been pushed forward by Scott Walker and other Republicans. And that program is capped at 1,000 students right now. There's a pretty good sense among most people that that cap will be significantly lifted or potentially taken off completely for the statewide program. But remember, how to fund that is another issue. If you let everybody go to a voucher immediately, it would make for a real headache with trying to figure out how to fund it. So that you may see a more measured a proposal for a more measured increase simply because of the funding concerns.
Thanks a lot for the call, Jean. We'll go now to Deb in Appleton. Deb, hi. Deb, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Deb.
Hello. My question or comment had to do with the cost of the teacher effectiveness, the system that's put in place by the state. I'm wondering what the cost, you talked before about the cost of the training of the administrators to administer the program, but what about the cost in hours for the administrators to actually implement the program, for the teachers to implement the program, and what's that taking away from in the school day as far as the cost to our students themselves?
Deb, thanks for the call. Erin, I don't know if you have numbers or if anybody tracks numbers on this, but is there any sense that the time taken for these principal and teacher accountability programs we talked about earlier is cutting into education time?
Deb brings up a great point. That's something we often don't write about because it doesn't have an exact dollar figure tied to it in terms of time. But I do think there's a growing sense among people that, you know, if you're teachers and administrators were doing everything they were doing before, and then you also switch to new statewide assessments and a new evaluation system, it's understandable that you would be spending a lot more of your time learning how to switch to a new system. And indeed, I think that you're hearing from parents saying, I don't think my kid is getting as much one-on-one attention as they used to. Or you hear teachers and principals saying, I have so many more burdens on my time and nothing has fallen off the table. I've simply adopted more things. And you know, the thing that may suffer is time with students. So I think that that's absolutely a concern. One issue is that we don't have a good way to calculate what that is worth in terms of time and money.
We're talking to education reporter Aaron Richards about differing school priorities from school administrators, from the legislature, from the Department of Public Instruction. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do things look like in your district from your perspective as a parent, a student, a teacher, an administrator, or a taxpayer? What do you think needs to change? What's your wish list for education in the state and in your area? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Back to our callers now. Ryan is on the line in Waukesha. Ryan, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. My comment and question is that the will to make the changes that have been suggested even at the onset of your program today to personalize education and focus, quite frankly, on the classroom, invest in teachers and their skill levels, really is a great deal of the, I think, solution. But throwing a lot of money at things and building the bureaucracy and looking at the huge structures to change schools and their impact, I think, is the wrong approach. We need to focus on the classroom and the expertise that the teacher has.
Ryan, thanks for the call. So a lot of, it sounds like institutional inertia when he says the focus should be on being agile and being willing to try new things in the classroom, Aaron.
Yeah, and you know, you've seen the administrators ask for that as well in terms of these, you know, grants for funding innovative practices, you know, trying to return some of the money and funding and energy to individual teachers and how to make them better. Of course, the statewide evaluation system is trying to do that in sort of a more systematic and sort of broader way. But I do think there is some desire for that, and yet it's tough to get that message across. I think a lot of teachers feel like they could be you know, pushing some more interesting things to sort of build up their classrooms and improve teaching and learning, but oftentimes their work gets bogged down by the bureaucracy and other funding priorities.
Back to our callers now with Amy N. Sullivan. Amy, hi.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Well, I am just responding to the comment made by your guest that some people are or that people are thinking that maybe some of this ineffectiveness stuff is taking away from their students and our students in the classroom. And I would like to argue that, as for me and my colleagues, most of the time we've spent learning the ineffectiveness system and writing our SLOs and PPGs, all of that has been done on our time, not paid time, but time on weekends or after school. And I think it's taking more away from our families than it is our careers, you know. And I'm not complaining about that because I'm a professional and I value my students. And I think there's maybe some good in these initiatives. But I just think as a PR thing, I wish people would realize how much extra time teachers do put in.
Amy, thanks for the call. So Aaron, she's saying a lot of this accountability type stuff and training, these training things, are volunteer hours in effect for teachers?
I don't think I could say it any better than Amy. I think sometimes we really have to listen to teachers and hear how they're spending their time. That's been a big question. How do you expect people to do a lot of new things all at the same time? Wisconsin's education landscape has changed a lot just in the past three or four years with the varying amount of initiatives and different programs. And I do think it's a question to ask. How are teachers doing that? According to Amy, she's spending a lot of her personal time doing that. I don't know if that's the same across the board, but you certainly have heard in a variety of different ways that teachers are being expected to do a lot more with the same amount of resources or less than what they had before.
Amy, thanks for the call. To Carrie with us in Milwaukee now. Carrie, hi.
Hi. Thank you very much for answering questions today, Aaron.
Oh, thank you.
I have a question about which agencies review curriculum for school choice schools.
Which agencies review curriculum for school choice schools? Well, that doesn't happen because they're private schools, and so they're able to teach whatever curriculum they would like to teach. That's individually chosen. But I would add that public schools also, you know, within a local control state, public schools also, you know, get to choose the textbooks that they want to use, get to choose how they're going to teach students. Even if we have agreed upon standards for what you should know by the end of, you know, third grade, public schools do have the freedom to choose what they're going to do as well, but it does have to meet the state standards.
Thanks a lot for the call, Carrie. So a lot of opinions out there from various stakeholders, Aaron. How do you see, and we can't predict the future, but how do you see all this playing out as the schools have their requests for the legislature has its own priorities? What do you see in the first few months of the next session on education?
A lot of activity in Madison. I think it's going to be a really active session. Of course, there's going to be a lot of other issues that get attention as well. But man, I think education is really going to be a roller coaster of a ride here. And we already had a pretty active session the last time around on these. I do think it's good. It's always good on this show to hear from more teachers and parents too, because I think that's the one voice that we don't always hear from as much oftentimes because people have other jobs during the day. But I do think it's really good to keep that conversation going and to and hear what people have to say as this all gets hashed out in Madison in the next few months.
Aaron, thanks a lot for joining us as always.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
That's Aaron Richards. She's an education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel.